friends. This is Webby from the Grim Podcast of Perilous Adventure. The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. For more podcasts like this, go to professionalcasual.com.
The Professional Casual Network has gear. If you're looking to get some sweet merch from Beards, Ears, and Skulls, Grim Podcast, Perilous Adventure, Arachne, and Infinity Podcast, or a whole lot more, you can check out streamlabs.com/professionalcasualnetwork1/merch. Also, don't go to Built Bar anymore. They're not a sponsor and they're dead to us. So head over to monumenthobbies.com and use code professionalcasual at checkout for 5% off every single order you possibly, order for like paints and board games and stuff. Right? Thanks.
Hey, my Elector Casuals, and welcome to another episode of Beards, Ears, and Skulls. It is the best old world podcast on the internet. I'm Taylor, your personal grudge bearer, and with me is Dan.
With the best arcane journal in the old world. I forgot what the book was called for a
second. So far.
Yeah, until you start reading things about Cathay.
And if you haven't yet, what are you doing? Because apparently they're broken.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time talking about them next time.
Next time.
Whoo!
On Dragon Ball Z.
This Beastman book looks great, but it's not Cathay.
Hey, it ain't no Cathay. Well, listen, before we get into the Beastman book, part two, which it just is kind of my first time looking at it today, let's say huge thanks. I'm sick, folks, so I'm kind of like, I'm at my limit. It's 9 o'clock at night. I'm going to screw up so many things, so bear with me, everybody.
Have you tried just being awesome instead?
No, I'm not Pony Danza. I want to send a huge dowie thank you to our beautiful and wonderful patrons who support us over at patreon.com/professionalcasual. These folks help us do what we do every day, keep the lights on, and keep Tim from eating his primordial gloom. Huge special thanks to our top patrons. We have X-Paxis, Rob, Iron Maze Tau, Dagna, Bicon, Briar Mage, Cider Drinker, Kilted Sparky, Kuwaku. Oh, that felt weird to say that.
Kuwaku.
Random Guy, Cliff Jumper, Velisenda, Speaks with Wind, Pagan Prince, David, Handsome Andy. Handy Andy. Nope. Handsome Andy.
Handsome Andy.
Brooks, Chris Dillard, and Cord. And then in the
Electric
here, if you want to hang out with us, hang out. If you want to support us directly, the best thing. Tier, wow, it's called the Electric Casual Tier because Tony M. Meerkat, Stefan Rev, Right Man, Cliff, Lead Age Showdown was canceled, Anthony Manuel, Daniel Harris, Lil Willie, Carlos, and Nick Barron. Thank you, folks, for your support. We appreciate you. Dan,
what?
I'm going first this time. I've done zero hobby since the last time I've checked out with you, but this is hobby adjacent. I cleaned up my hobby space a bit.
Oh,
it was
That's a thing.
Yeah, it was getting like overrun. I had so many things in so many places that shouldn't have been where they were. And I was like starting to get that like anxiety every time you sit down anywhere.
Ugh,
just because there's you know what I mean? Just so much clutter. So I was like, I'm going to start cleaning some stuff up. So I'm getting there. It's not done, but I do still have my Fergs and they're getting there.
Fergs.
I didn't play any games, but I just got back from the Atlantic City Open last weekend. Which is why I was on the last episode.
How was that?
And it was great. It was absolutely wonderful. Tim and I were streaming MCP.
Naturally.
And it was an absolute blast. We got to see Will Castillo, who was just a gem in the hobby community.
Yeah, I love the guy.
Right. And Mike Whalen and Ben and Alyssa and, oh my gosh, Rob Rialli. Just so many pork roll people, so many friends. And then right next to us, literally to the right of the streaming table, was a whole bunch of old world stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. A bunch of tables. Unfortunately, they didn't have enough players to do like a full event, like a full tournament or whatever, but they came up with some scenarios and did a whole bunch of stuff. I didn't really talk to them too much, but it looked like they were having a blast. I sent some pictures to Dan. I don't know if I put them in the Discord. I'll have to do that. If folks are interested, you can join our Discord. And it was a, it was cool. It was cool to see a whole bunch of different types of armies. A whole bunch of, like, there was one army that was minions, minions from like Despicable Me, and they were Chaos Dwarves. It was so strange, but it's so funny. And then it's like, I don't know, 3D printed dragon that was like a foot tall. It was insane. I have no idea what it was for. Some awesome Vampire Count stuff. It was just, it was really cool to be there, talk to a couple of people. Obviously, the one person that I talked to first was a dwarf player because, you know, we just find each other. But yeah, it was super duper neat to see that. Dan, what do you got for us? What'd you paint? What'd you hobby?
I wish I had things to report here, but no.
This is all you, man. You're the paint and hobby guy.
I know, usually, but so much of free time right now is taken up by moving preparation. Yeah,
packing and all that, yep.
So that's like today, we're recording it on Juneteenth, so I didn't have to work today, and we spent a majority of the day working on packing up my son's room.
Yeah.
So like today would have been a great day to paint normally, but it just, you know, it's got to be pushed to the back burner for now. I'll try to get some done when I can, but it's just, it's not really happening at the moment. And I feel like I don't even know the last time I played any game.
Sure. Yeah.
Similar. Like it's one of those things, like we had Father's Day very recently, and every year, you know, Danny's always like, what do you want to do for Father's Day? And I'm like, well, what I want to do for Father's Day, I never can do. Because like I just want to like go to the store and play games, but no one else could do, because they're always doing Father's Day stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, Father's Day ACO was the last day of Father's Day. You know, or the last day of ACO was Father's Day.
Yeah, wow. The last day.
Dude, I'm telling you, I am. It's gonna be rough today.
But yeah, so
yeah,
like we had the same pause time there.
Right. Go we are sinking it. In our ADHD. This is not good. Oh man.
But yeah, I no, the only game I played recently is actually, of all things, shocking, Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, dude, for real.
I played a game with the new Final Fantasy starter set with my daughter. She said she actually liked it. She was like, I liked it because I won. And I was like, yeah, you did. She wrecked me. Like, I don't think I did a single damage to her. And I downloaded the Arena app and I got like the starter decks on there because I love Final Fantasy. So I played Magic 30 years ago when I was a kid, very briefly. And this is the first time I've had any interest in it, like personally.
Sure.
Since I was in sixth grade, because I love Final Fantasy and it's like, I can have all these characters on cards. This is the best.
So
I guess they're doing a second print run soon, so
good, because I mean it's probably been one of their most popular sets so far.
It was their highest selling set on like for pre-release.
I just want the chocobos, man. That's all I want in my life.
Good luck.
Right.
Like all the, there's like the cool like neon ink colored chocobo cards that only come in like the crazy expensive collector packs, but I think there's other like basic chocobo cards. I have like a chocobo bird token card.
Yeah, I want that. I want it. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, that's
chocobo. No, I don't need any of the fancy stuff. I just, you know, that's side quest, raise a chocobo. It's yeah. So cute.
Yeah, the only reason I want any of the fancy cards is to then sell them to get other stuff.
No, fair enough. No, I am. So ironically, Tim and I think Ben. Yeah, Tim, Ben and I also played Magic the Gathering at ACO with the Final Fantasy sets. I cannot remember the deck that I was playing, but it was interesting. I didn't really understand a lot of the references because I haven't played past 10. Right.
Did you? No, you didn't have the 10 deck, right? Tim had.
No,
that.
Tim did.
So you had the 6 deck, I think.
And the 10 deck is brutal. It's absolutely brutal. But anyways, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I love Commander. I always have. It's probably the best way to play Magic, in my humble opinion.
I'm excited for you to teach me how to do it because I've never done Commander, but I bought the Final Fantasy VI Commander deck. So
nice.
I could do it.
I mean, you already have it done. Like building the deck is the hardest part, right?
Playing. Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Right. Yeah, you're good.
I'm just gonna buy the pre-made ones and then call it good.
right? I have some decks that I've built. I actually have one that I like tore apart to build into another one, and I might want to put it back. But I don't know, that friggin' Titus deck, or I'm not saying his name correctly, I refuse to, is brutal. Absolutely brutal. Right.
Quote correctly, just because they said it that way in Kingdom Hearts. Stupid.
Nope. Dumb.
Because Titus just makes more sense because there's all the water theme and tide in his name. Just makes more sense than the other way, which I'm,
it's, I refuse to say.
If I'm going to build any deck, it would be to take that Cloud starter deck and turn it into a Cloud Commander deck.
Sure. Yep.
Which is cool. It's all about equipment.
I mean, heck yeah, I would love to help you with that. That'd be dope. Ishtola? Yeah, that's, I think that's who I played. Yeah, the furry.
Either 11 or 14, one of the online ones. I don't know because I never played either of them.
Yeah, she was interesting. Sorry, GERD. but yeah, no, hey, if you're ever interested, I would love to help you build something. But I mean, Commander's difficult because it costs money. Anyways, we're here to talk about Old World, not Commander.
I was gonna say, how about a different kind of magic? We left off last time with, right before, we're going to talk about Primal Magic.
It looks interesting. What I like about it already is Flock of Doom.
Yep. It's so good.
So good.
So to continue the theme from last time, it's great. It's the opposite of the Wood Elves, where instead of having two pretty good spells, all the spells are great, except two are okay. They're, you know, if you roll them, you'll probably switch it out for the signature spell, but the rest are awesome. So the Primal Magic is only available to Beastmen currently. You can only... wizards in a Primal War Herd have access to this as one of the Army of Infamy special rules. Otherwise, in a Grand Army, maybe not just a Grand Army, one of the items you can take gives you... A 15-point item gives you access
to... It's the Gore Tooth.
Yeah.
And it is super common, so anybody can take it.
So I think you can have a Doom Bowl with this in your Blood Herd.
In your Wa.
If you pay another 15 points for it.
So sure.
It's one of those, I think that I don't understand why it's 15 points. Brooks and I talked about this a little bit last time. Like, why it should just be like 5 or free. Like,
yeah, that's a lot for a wizard.
Just to get access to these spells. Like, are these spells objectively that much better than the base lores? No, I don't think so.
Right.
I think it's a great lore and it's 100% worth it in the Herd army. I already forgot what it's called.
Primal Herd or whatever.
Primal Herd. Yeah. Because you don't have to pay extra for it. It's there.
Sure.
But I don't know if I mean, I would do it in a Grand Army here and there just because it's so thematic, but I just don't understand why it's 15 points.
Yeah. That would be fun. Right.
If it was free.
Yeah. No. Like doing it in a Grand Army. That's fun. Right.
Yeah.
So the other thing is it's the Wild Herd. The Wild Herd.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. In the Wild Herd
is a unit.
Oh, gotcha. In the Wild Herd, you know, you have access to it as well as the other lores of magic. So again, are you going to take it? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I will. Like you said, I will just because it's.
It's new and fun.
It's new and fun. It's super thematic. It looks cool. But I don't know why it's 15 points. That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, speaking of Primal, it's called Primal Magic. And the first, the signature spell is Primordial Gloom, which is a magical vortex cast in 9+, 12-inch range. And it remains in play. You put a 3-inch blast template, so its central hole is within 12 inches of the caster. Whilst in play, the template does not move and is treated as dangerous terrain. Whilst within 6 inches of the template, enemy units suffer -1 to leadership, to a minimum of 2, and treat open ground as difficult terrain.
Yeah.
Wow.
Within 6 inches of the template. So it's a 15-inch bubble.
That's insanity.
15-inch diameter circle. It's kind of a huge area.
Holy moly. That's insane.
Yeah, it's so good.
I mean,
that's the signature spell.
Yeah, we're done. Did we have to do the rest of them?
Exactly. So I'm saying, like, compared to the Wood Elf signature spell, that's why would you ever take this?
What trash. What absolute trash. I feel so bad for Wood Elf players.
Yeah, for real. Especially this was the next book, like 2 weeks later, like, hey, we do know how to make a good arcane journal. Here you go.
I mean, I guess maybe I kind of don't just because they were the Kings of 8th edition towards the end of it. But at the same time, I never had to play against them. So I do feel bad.
Right. You are a Wood Elf player, though.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
All right. So
I played a lot of stuff.
True. We've dabbled in just about everything.
Right.
So the first number one spell here is Call of the Wild. Filled with primal energy, the Children of Chaos move across the battlefield with unwholesome vigor. This isn't my favorite kind of spell because it's not an offensive spell. And we've talked a bunch of times about how I like to build my Pokemon with only damage dealing attacks. but this is a conveyance spell. Casting value is only 8. Range of 12. Be cast on can only target friendly models whose troop type is infantry or cavalry, which is essentially everything but the big monsters and chariots.
Yep.
until the end of this turn, a target friendly unit gains the reserve move special rule.
Ooh, all right.
Which I understand is a good thing.
Yeah.
I will never use this spell because I will forget to just, I will forget the reserve move a phase later every time.
Yeah.
That's well, I guess fair. Not a phase later. This is a conveyance. You cast it in the movement phase, but I can see how this could be great. Positioning is key in this game. So getting more move, sure.
Moves as described in the basic movie. Oh, cool. All right.
You just can't do it if you marched. Right.
Marched or
failed a charge.
Charged or fled. Yep.
So
interesting. Yeah. I mean, that's really good.
I feel like this is the kind of spell I feel like is really good later in the game when you're not just marching up anymore, where getting a second move to like do another maneuver or something. It's like, sure. Oh, reserve move. I reform. Like,
yeah, fair enough.
I think that can be fantastic. So I kind of just talked myself into liking this spell a lot.
Good job. So I just want to go back to the, I want to go back to the signature spell real quick.
Yeah.
Because I was like, difficult terrain, that's -1 to your movement. And I always forget this. If you charge through difficult terrain, you discard the highest die instead of the lowest.
Yeah, and your movement is -1.
Correct. And
so brutal.
Right. And if you end a move or begin a combat phase with a quarter or more of your models within it, you are disrupted and no rank bonuses.
Yep.
That's a massive spell. That's a massive spell.
It's so good.
And it's only enemy units.
Yep. I can march right through it. I don't care.
That's so stupid. Moving swiftly on before I get more pissed off. In the Gloaming Wildwood. This is a hex, 10+, 15 inches, remains in play. Whilst the spell is in play, the target enemy unit fears all models in the caster's army. Wow. Models in the caster's army that already have fear cause terror? What?
Terror, Minotaurs, terror, Minotaurs.
That's so dumb. I hate this game.
So I'm pretty sure there's a banner you can give them to make them cause terror, but now you don't need to pay for the banner anymore.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible.
That must have been something else I'm thinking of.
The Flock of Doom is always fun. I want that one.
All right. You want to talk about Flock of Doom?
Sure. It's an assailment. It's going to make me mad, isn't it?
Oh, it's assailment.
It's an 8+. I mean, put it on Doom Bowl.
Again, Doom Bowl. Yeah.
Right. Obviously, range combats. Places 3-inch template so that its central holds directly over the center of a unit the caster is engaged in combat with. Once placed, the template scatters D3+1. Any enemy model whose base lies underneath the template's final position risks being hit and suffering a single strength 3 with an AP 0. Multiple wounds 2, though. Interesting.
Yeah.
It's not great. Scattering sucks.
Yeah, go
ahead.
D3+1?
Yeah, that's a lot. That's massive.
At least it only hurts enemy models. You can't hurt your own unit with it, even if it scatters onto you.
Right. Like, who cares if it scatters onto you? I don't want it to scatter. I'm not going to take that spell. That's bad.
No. This would be the first one to switch out.
Yep.
For Vileside.
For Vileside. That's fair. That's very, very fair.
The only downside to Primordial Gloom is that it's that or Vileside.
Oh my gosh. Read the next one, because I don't want to read it.
Fury of the Beast. One might make Bestigor's decent. It's an enchantment, 9+, cast self. Until the end of this turn, the caster and any unit they have joined gains fight an extra rank special rule.
Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun?
Yeah. I think the best target for this is Bestigor's.
Right?
Fighting with great weapons in 2 ranks? Okay.
That's really incredible.
Right? Even Minotaurs would be great, too, for your Doom Bolt casting it on himself and a unit of Minotaurs. Like, it's only 1 attack each for fighting extra rank, I'm pretty certain, because they're supporting attacks. But still, that's, you know, at least 3 or 4 more weapon skill 4, strength 5 attacks, if not strength 7 with great weapons.
Yeah, if they're not in base contact with an enemy model, they can only make one attack, regardless of its attack characteristic. Yeah, so it's only one. But, I mean, hey, is there an easy way to get poison in this army?
Oh, is there?
You know what I mean? Like
the 30-point banner, you mean? Vitriolic Totem? My favorite magic item in the game?
So just slam this on a huge unit of gore and then you fight an extra rank as well. Hate that.
Love it.
Hate everything. Nope. All right, Strangle Root. Sounds fun. Magic missile. Love magic missiles.
Sounds familiar.
Right? 9 inches. Cool. Or 9+, excuse me. 9+ a cast. 4d6 inches. All right, so you're averaging like 14. Draw a straight line 46 inches in length from the caster's base edge. Any model whose base falls under this line suffers d3, strength 3 hits, AP 2. Wow.
I thought this was bad, and then I realized each model hit takes D3 strength 3 hits. So like,
no, each model that you can just snipe people with this thing.
Yeah. So even if it's like, oh, there's dwarves there, you know, I need 5s to wound them. Well, each one's going to get D. I could get 3 chances at that.
That's insanity.
With AP 2.
What?
It's so good. All right, you ready for the last one, which is also good? Neath the Shaden Woadspan.
It's such a
great
dope
name.
Yeah.
Dope name. Magical Vortex, casting value 10. So, not easy.
Yeah.
Range 15 inches, remains in play. It's a large 5-inch template, so the hole is within 15 of the caster. While it's in play, it does not move and is treated as dangerous terrain over which no line of sight can be drawn.
Oh, all right.
While within 6 inches of the template, enemy units suffer a -2 modifier to the ballistic skill. Who cares? Any enemy unit that ends its movement within 3 inches of the template must immediately make a panic test. If this test is failed, the unit will flee directly away from the nearest enemy, which is not itself fleeing.
See, the fact that you said -2 to their ballistic skill, nobody cares. That puts me at ballistic 1, Dan. Right?
I just want you need like 8s to hit normal.
I want you to just think about what you said for a minute. This is a complete counter to the Wood Elf Arcane Journal.
Right.
Somebody made a Wood Elf Arcane Journal, showed it to their buddy at GW, and there was like, watch this.
Right? Because like, the Wood Elves have a big thing on like special features they get bonuses for. And it's like the Beastmen are almost always going to have a special feature. So it's like, hey, we counter your Herdstone. It's like, hey, I counter everything else. I don't care. So, but just imagine throwing down the Neath the Shaden Woadspan and Primordial Gloom in the same turn and just being like, move, I dare you. If they don't dispel it. But the fact that this is a large template that blocks line of sight,
yeah,
it's the only other thing that does that is a Column of Crystal,
correct? Yeah, which is, that's so dumb. And you can do some really fun things with this too if you have like little units of dogs, right? Because they flee directly away from the nearest enemy unit, so you can like put your dogs where you need them to go next to units, and then, you know, like behind them or something like that, so they flee straight towards you.
It might actually make ambushing decent.
Right. So there's some play here. Obviously, panic tests, who cares? Like, nobody actually has issues with panic tests.
Everybody rerolls them or whatever anyway.
Right. And you can't cast 2 magical vortex. You should be able to, right? 2 remains
in place at
the same time? Is there a rule against that?
I'm not sure.
I feel like in 8th edition there was. I could be thinking about that.
I don't think there is, but most I can't think of another lore that has 2 vortexes.
You know what I mean?
Are you checking now?
I'm trying, but I can't actually find anything. So here's my thought, right? You plop down the Primordial Gloom, which gives them -1 leadership, and then you put the Neath the Shaden Woadspan. That's very difficult to say for me. I don't know why.
It is, but it sounds cool when you do get to spit it out.
Neath the Shaden Woadspan. Ooh. Man, I wish my voice was deep all the time.
Spooky.
Lemon chook. No. Nope.
Okay, so spell Look categories. Does not require a target. Central hole. Some magical vortex with the start of the turn. Doesn't say anything about not being able to cast another one.
What about there. It remains in play?
It is remains in play. Good call. I always forget exactly.
You know what I mean, Vern?
They come to an end when the caster slain chooses to end the spell or leaves the battlefield. So you can have multiple remains in play in spell. In play.
Dumb. Also stupid. Huh. All right.
Yeah, well. It says the casting wizard can continue to cast other spells, but not the same remains in play spell, as it requires only a little concentration to keep a remains in play spell going.
All right. Well, there you go. Primordial Bloom and Neath the Shade and Woad Span. I almost had it.
Woad.
Spectral forests loom above the battlefield, spreading creeping shadows that fill the enemy with dread.
You could just call it creeping shadows.
Yeah, but that's not nearly as cool.
Dread trees.
Dread spooky trees.
Spooky trees.
Spooky woods. What the hell? Yeah. They're forests that loom above the battlefield. Like, it's not actually a forest.
It's just floating up there.
You look up and it's just roots. You're like, oh, that's so scary, I guess.
That's scary, I guess. Oh my goodness.
These tree roots are like way bigger than their canopies are. So it's just, you look up and it's just roots. Like, I don't know what that is.
This is real confusing, guys. I don't know what's going on.
Well, this made me severely upset in the lore of primal magic, and I'm so glad that I'm not a wood elf player like I wanted to be.
So. I mean, you have wood elves. I can't wait to have them face off against my beastmen in the new scenario.
Yeah, I'm so happy. I'm going to make sure to take Orion for sure.
I mean, the other one, that's the idea. So this is the clash at the Northern Crossroads.
Yeah. Real quick, before we go over this, there is a beast man with a gut plate in this picture. Makes me real happy.
With a gut plate? What are you talking? Where? Yeah.
Clash at the Northern Crossroads, page 19.
Oh, yeah. That picture's been around since before.
Yeah, he's got a gut
plate. That was the cover to 7th edition, right?
I don't know, man. You have the book. I don't. I'm just happy he's got a gut plate.
Yes, the cover to the 7th edition book. So it might actually have come after Ogres, but the Beastman models had like a gut plate type thing for a long time.
I mean, it makes sense.
Like a gut plate with a big spike on it.
Right? That's where all your important bits are. You got to keep it safe.
Yeah, they're not dumb. They're just, they can't talk.
They talk.
They can't talk good. They talk in their own tongue, yeah. They don't usually, speak Reichspiel, though. That'd be weird.
I mean, they have a symbol for ogre. It's a smaller symbol than troll. It's troll without the outside line. That's funny. If you go to page 12.
Page 12, because they have a little bit of the dark tongue, right?
Yeah, that's so funny. It's troll just without the outside circle.
Oh, that's so good. Trolls are scarier than ogres, I guess.
I guess so. I mean,
I love the Centaur one. It's just like a circle with four lines coming out of it. Like, they got four legs they run on.
Oh my
Dragon
God.
Ogre's got six because they got four legs, then also two arms. But so does Centaur, so I don't know. They're Centaur, but bigger.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, the Bestigors are just like, their horns are up, and the Wargors have two extra horns.
There's so many more horns. Anyways. Great stuff. But this scenario is pretty cool. It's kind of similar to the Wood Elf one in a way. The idea is you should have Crawlmaw in the Beastman army. Sure. They're going to make a 2,500 point wild herd army specifically with Crawlmaw, who's the general. And the defender should make 2,500 points of Empire.
Yep.
Of course, it says... As always, scenario may be played with any two armies of the player's choosing.
Yep.
Just another way to play.
So Orion.
Yeah, there you go.
2,000 points of Wood Elves.
So this is a classic attacker surrounding the defender. The story here is that says this midwinter encounter on the eastern borders of the Drakvald was fought between the Beastman Brayherd under the direction of Crawlmaw, the Prophet of Ruin, and a company of mercenary soldiers from Middenheim. To represent this, the player should write two musters lists as follows. But basically, there's a blizzard happening. I meant to read this flavor text at the top. That's what I was looking for. Beastmen raced towards the camp as the snow continued to fall, the blizzard concealing their approach. Their hot, foul breath came in great gouts of fog against the freezing air, and the pristine white blanket of snow became stained with blood and filth as they passed. The soldiers in the encampment would only have moments to sound the alarm before the cloven ones were upon them.
Dope.
So they attack their camp during a blizzard when the Empire was not prepared. So the Empire, as the defender, gets to set up in this rectangle, pretty much in the center,
Yeah, the back of it is 9 inches up from the long table edge, and then the front end of it is 18 inches away from the attacker's deployment zone, which is actually 24 inches away from the other long table edge. So what's that? 9, 24, that 33?
You said a lot of numbers, man.
Is that 33 inches?
9 and 6 is 15 plus 18.
Yeah, that's
sounds that'd be like 33.
Yeah. So 33 inches of the short table edge is taken up. So you have another what? 15 inches?
So you got 15 inches deep and
24
that's 36. Math.
Yeah, 36 inches of
so 36 wide. Yep. So yeah, you got a little rectangle here. I don't think it's actually any smaller than a typical deployment zone to put your 2,500 points in. And the Beastmen basically get all around the edge except for one, like the defender's long table edge. They can't deploy there.
Yeah, but they only get 6 inches, man.
So they have to be squished. Spread out. Yeah, they got to be spread out quite a bit. And then, of course, you should have a Herdstone here just for fun, because why not?
Duh.
It says that's the wild herd. What's that?
It's a wild herd.
Yeah, so it's just a special choice. As this battle is taking place on an otherwise empty stretch of road, we advise keeping the terrain fairly sparse, save for a few copses of trees clustered on the edges of the board and perhaps some tents and campfires towards the center. The defender deploys their whole army, then the attacker deploys their army, and the attacker goes first.
And just like a few copses of trees. That's essentially what Gollum says when he sees town guards. Oh, it's a few copses.
Thank you for that.
So there's no turn limit for this scenario. The battle's going to last until one side reaches its breaking point or until break they point. Concede. So we've got some breakpoints going on.
Yeah, so it's just straight up breakpoint. Yep. But
25% of the unit strength or total unit strength of the army. So you just count them all up and then divide the total by 4, rounding down. With each model removed, you do breakpoint stuff, which is really great. excuse me. Heavy Snowfall is the fun one that I'm interested in because I love these thematic things. One of my favorite games that we never really got to play too often was like we were fighting over a frozen river. It's so thematic. It's so dope.
Oh,
and
there
was a chance that you could like fall through the ice.
Yeah.
Right. So Heavy Snowfall, to represent the swirling snow, all missile weapons suffer a negative 3-inch modifier to their range characteristic. In addition, due to the thick blanket of snow covering the earth, all charge rolls suffer a -1 modifier, which with the lore of the wild or primal lore or whatever it is, that's unbelievably massive because your signature spell then makes that -2 inches to charge plus reduce or take away the highest die roll.
And -3 to their range for their shooting. So even like, okay, we'll sit back and shoot as many beastmen as we can. Oh, okay. But at the same time, beastmen get to go first as the attackers in this scenario. So they're probably going to be within range on the Empire's first turn anyway.
Yeah.
But not to everything. So this one doesn't have a lot going on. It's not as complex as the Wood Elf one. And I think that's fine. I like how some of these are a little bit simpler than others.
It's just so thematic.
Yeah, it's really cool. We have a snow mat, I think, so.
Yeah.
Right?
Either you or I do. I'm pretty sure. I might have one.
So, like.
I have to take a look. But yeah, this
sounds cool.
Totally doable. Totally
another
doable.
Another one that adds to the list of the games we'll never play in film.
Right. By the way, everybody, there's a thunderstorm coming through my town. So if I just drop off at some point, that's why. Anyways, speaking of thematic, we're having a storm right now. dude, talk to me about the Black Maul.
Oh, magic items. So keeping up with the theme of the book, there's a lot of good ones here. The Black Maul is actually great. 80-point magic weapon I would actually consider using.
Oh?
Yes. So okay. I love that it's this brutal spiked cudgel is stained black with the blood of 1,000 victims. Those that wield the club for too long become overwhelmed by its thirst for violence.
Dang.
So obviously it's in combat strength +2, AP 3.
Extra attacks D6?
Extra attacks D6. And if you roll a 6 for the extra attacks, you suffer -1 to your weapon skill.
For the remainder of the game,
for the remainder of the game. But it's like, okay, I get 6 extra attacks. Who cares if I'm hitting on 4s instead of 3s now? Or even, Or no, yeah, because weapon skills. So it's not, chances are you're still going to hit on fours.
Yeah, absolutely.
Against the vast majority of things.
I don't want to see what this would look like on a Doom Bowl with Frenzy.
Yep, that's what everybody's talking about. Doom Bowl with Frenzy with this. And then you could, if you really want to go crazy, make it the Wizard Doom Bowl and give it the Mantle of Gorok so you can get more attacks.
No.
yeah.
No, I don't like it. No, sir.
Like I said, you might actually think about taking this Excalibur weapon.
Yeah, for real. I mean, Doom Bowl start at, what, 5 attacks or something like that? And then Frenzy for 6, so that's 12 attacks plus an extra. That's dumb.
You don't even want to keep going.
That's dumb. It starts with six. Who cares about minus one weapon skill?
Right, still 5. Oh, your character's weapon skill is 6 or 7, so I'm still hitting you on 4s. Whoop-de-doo, Basil.
The axes of Khorgor sound really familiar, Dan.
But I also have Primal Fury, so I'm probably rerolling 1.
No, stop. Stop it. We're done.
The Axes of Khorgor, this is a returning weapon. I used to love these. Yeah. I think they're still good. 40 points, strength plus 1, AP 2.
Nice.
Already great. Extra attacks, 1.
Nice.
Because there's 2-hand weapons. Magical attacks requires 2 hands. But the wielder of the Axes of Khorgor may reroll any 2 wound of a natural 1 made during the combat phase.
These are great.
Right? For 40 points, a good item. I don't think that, I think this is pretty spot on for 40 points, what you get for it.
Wow. That's really good.
Yeah.
And then just throw like some cool armor on them and you're good to go.
And they have some cool armor we're going to get to.
No. Complete chaos armor?
Yep.
Piss off.
That was one of the few items Brooks and I talked about last time where it's like, I will gladly pay 120 points in my army so every character that can take it has full plate chaos armor.
Yes.
Because Beastman they had no ward saves other than the Talisman of Protection. So now every character can have a ward save.
What the hell, man?
Oh, wait, you wanted to get real mad? You know what my favorite part of Chaos Armor is?
Yes.
A Shaggoth can take it.
I hate this game.
Are you ready for a 2-up, 5-up Shaggoth?
I hate this game so much.
I cannot wait to get this on the table.
So I got to be honest with you folks, and I've said this a million times. I'm so glad that Beastmen are good now because it's been, what, 30 years, Dan?
I thought they were pretty good in 6th edition, so a good 20 years, yeah.
It's been 20 years. I mean, still, let's shave a decade off of 30 years. Like, jeepers. Still,
it's been a long time since they were even decent. So you want to talk about the Brass Cleaver, another returning weapon?
Yeah, I remember this one vehemently. It hurt my butt a lot. So it's 30 points. The Brass Cleaver is said to be an artifact from another realm, ancient and terrible. Its outline blurs with a barely restrained thirst for carnage. Strength, AP minus 2. Enemy models are not permitted an armor ward or regen save against an attack made with this weapon if the wielder rolls a natural 6 when making a 2-wound roll. It's decent.
It's okay.
It's decent. I don't know if it's worth 30 points, but it also sounds like it's worth 30 points.
AP 2 all the time is nice.
Oh, that is nice. Yeah, that's true.
And then they have like super cleaving blow on a 6. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, shit, I'd take that in a Gore Bowl. Why not? 30 points? Why not?
I think it's solid. I probably won't really ever use that one unless I really only have 30 points left on my character.
Sure.
Because I think I like the Scimitar of Skulltar better.
Absolutely. Multiple wounds 2 for 5 points less? Yes. Thank you.
Right? For no sure. Strength bonus. Only AP 1, but does have Armor Bane 1. It's the the Giant Blade, but better.
Yeah. That's...
Essentially, I think.
Yeah, whoever wrote this book is a Beastman player from old. So big preach to whoever that was. Big preach.
Because to compare it to the Giant's Blade, that's strength plus 1, Armor Bane 2, multiple wounds 2, but has no AP base. So I'd rather have, how many times I've used the Giant Blade, I would rather have AP 1 and Armor Bane 1 than no AP and Armor Bane 2. Easy.
Yep. Yep.
And for you don't get a strength, any extra strength, but the Giant Blade, that's 5 points less. The Scimitar is 5 points less for not having that extra strength.
Multiple wounds 2 is dope.
Yeah, so multiple wounds 2 is fantastic.
I was just looking at the front of the book to see who wrote it. It looks like they don't do that anymore. I was expecting Matt Ward's name there.
Unfortunately, they don't do that anymore. I don't know why they don't just list the whole team, but whatever. It's GW's thing now. But yeah, I like that item a lot. 25 points, fantastic.
So worth it. So worth it. Again, put it on a Doom Bowl. Like, he's strength, what, 6 or 5? Yeah, he's strength 6. Yeah, okay. Who needs an extra strength?
You don't need extra strength. He's going to get it from Gaze of the Gods anyway.
Yeah, so yeah, Gore Bowl. Great. Love it.
Just making Taylor more angry.
I'm still happy about it. Oh, you want to put it on a Centaur Chieftain too? That sounds awesome. Actually, that it's more thematic
for them. Centaur Chieftains are great.
Having a scimitar, yeah. Full plate Chaos Armor is dumb. Let's do the heavy Chaos Armor. Sounds like Chaos Armor, but heavy.
It's just heavy armor that gives you a 5-up ward save and wizards can wear it with no penalty. So now my level 4 Bray Shamans with their toughness 5 have a 5-up armor and 4-up armor and 5-up ward save with a full plate Chaos Armor. 40 points. It's not cheap. 100% worth it. Taking it every time.
I'm just Taylor's, not going to
talk
he's anymore.
So mad.
I'm just not going to talk anymore. I'm done.
He's turning red. Done.
It's so, and again, I'm so glad that it's finally good because the Beastmen models are so dope. They're the children of chaos. They've been around forever. They're so cool. Did you needed something bigger than the friggin' Maw Gore thingy, the giant stupid, not
the Gorgon?
Yeah, the Gorgon. You need something better than that, huh, Dan? Yeah. Everything's a mini Gorgon now.
Hey, do you want your armor to be better? We can make your armor better for 20 points more with the fur of Shargu. Maybe my worn with other armor. Okay, don't. It's only against non-magical shooting attacks. It improves your armor value by 2 against non-magical shooting attacks.
I don't want to hear it anymore. I'm gonna be so angry about Cathay, aren't I?
Yes.
I'm gonna be so angry.
Oh my god! You just want random special rules every turn. So Cathay gets
60 points. They have a 2-up, 5-up.
Against non-magical shooting.
I don't care.
But that's so great. Like, so I was thinking, the Shaggoth could take the heavy Chaos Armor for sure. 30 points. I don't know if that's totally worth it, because it doesn't improve his armor versus the heavy armor he already has. Uh-huh. But it is a 5-plus ward save. That's huge. Yeah, and then also massive. Give him the fur of Shargu. So now he's got a 2-up armor save against, like, cannons, because he's a monster, and a 5-up ward.
That's dope. That's all I'm going to say. Right. That's dope.
All right. I'm going to talk about the Chalice of Dark Rain really quick. Your favorite talisman.
This where is they a take returning, this... isn't it?
What's that?
It's a returning as well, isn't it?
Yeah. So this is classic. They have this nasty cup and they just pour out this black stuff.
Gross.
And it's a single use for 50 points, which normally I don't like, but especially against dwarves, during the command subphase of the turn, if they're not engaged in combat, the bearer of the Chalice of Dark Rain may drink from it. Until your next start of turn subphase, the range of all enemy missile weapons is halved, and enemy war machines cannot shoot. Oh, it's turn 2, and you think you're going to just shoot me off the board? I'm just going to drink this cup about it.
That is a quarter of an army's points not doing anything.
For a turn.
For an entire turn. Probably for the rest of the game, because it got you across the table.
I drink this turn 2, my ambushers charge on turn 3. Oh, you don't have any war machines anymore. You got one shot with them. Good job.
Well, that's how it usually works for me anyways when I play dwarves lately.
That's
so,
true.
Fair
that's
enough.
So true.
That's the only... stupid. Because dwarves needed this. Dwarves really needed this. You know what I mean?
Right.
They were so overpowered, especially with their ballista skill shooting and their 17 cannons that they get. They really needed this. You know?
Oh my god.
Bottom tier army.
The only downside of this is if you like take it to a tournament, there's no guarantee, like you might go up against something that doesn't really have shooting and then it's sure. not, it's just 50 points wasted. But like if there's going to be a game where I take this and I know I'm going to be playing dwarves and Taylor's just going to pack up as soon as I say I have this item.
I'm going to tell you I'm bringing dwarves and I'm not going to tell you the list. That's what's gonna
fair.
Happen.
Totally That's fair. I want to talk about the next one here. This one's pretty cool.
Yeah, sure. We got 30 points. You know what I mean? It's the cornucopia of corpulence. Yeah. I thought it was going to be corpulescence, but it's corpulence. Anyways, when the bearer's combat is chosen during step 1.1 of any choose and fight combat subphase. Jeez, that was really hard for me. Enemy models in base contact with the bearer of the cornucopia must take a toughness test. If they fail, they lose a single wound.
That skips saves. They just lose a wound. No saves. But you have, you have to fail a toughness test.
And you have to be in base contact with the bearer, not the unit. So that's not too horrendously massive, but like rip Skaven players, rip Goblin players, rip Empire players, rip elves, like, geez, just lose a wound.
And it's not one use only either, which is really nice.
That's insane. And it's of any choose and fight combat subphase. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, so it's not just yours.
No, it's both.
Oh, it's even better. That happens twice as often as I was thinking. So yeah, this one's pretty nice. Like you said, the frontage is going to matter. So your best bets here, again, a Minotaur character or a Shaggoth can take this item. Otherwise, you're probably in contact with three models.
Oh my gosh.
If you're like a Beastman character.
Just put this one thing in a Shaggoth and just run it around Chaff. I'm going to kill this thing. It's just so stupid.
They're all so good so far. Right, about magic banners.
Yeah, so that's 50 points. If a unit wishes to declare a charge against a unit carrying this banner, it must first make a leadership test. If this test is failed, the unit cannot charge. It does not move and is considered to have made a failed charge. If the test is passed, they can do it as normal. I wonder if this stacks with terror.
It's if you're charging me. Yeah, well, kind of. So this is like, hey, we cause fear and we don't care about unit strength like it should be.
Sure, yeah, yep.
You want to charge me? Well, you're scared. Too bad. Stay there.
Well, guess what?
That one's pretty cool. That would be one that'd be fun to try out here and there.
And it works well with the signature spell as well, given minus one.
Yeah.
Leadership as well as, you know, making it difficult. Yeah.
There's a few different ways to lower leadership, so it's even better that way. Banner of the Warped Moon is nice as well for 45 points during the command subphase of their turn. If they're not engaged in combat, the bearer of this banner may attempt to unleash its power by making a leadership test using their own unmodified leadership.
Yeah, okay.
If it's passed until your next start of turn subphase, enemy units cannot use the Fly X special rule.
Oh, I remember this stupid banner.
Get grounded, dragons. Hey, birds, your movement two now.
Oh my gosh. What's so that good giant sky lantern doing? Oh, sitting on the ground.
Yup. And this is almost certainly, of course, it's a it's 45 point banner. So chances to really make the best use of this, you're going to want it on a Wargore or a Gorbul as a BSB.
Yeah.
Because it's their own unmodified leadership. So yeah, Wargore's leadership. I think those are both set. You got it. They're both seven.
Yep. Yep. So that kind of sucks, but. Wow, a gouge horn has a higher leadership than a Wargore. That's insane.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
Champion.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, Beard Force none.
Because Horde doesn't help there either because it's unmodified.
Yep. So it's a 50-50 shot to just have flying not happen.
Yeah.
Well, and they need to not be engaged in combat as well.
Bearer of the banner. So yeah, you can't even use the gouge horn's leadership in Bestigor because it would be the banner bearer is not the champion, so it'd still be seven.
Yep. Oh, hey, you want to play Slaanesh?
Dan? Nah.
You sure? Because their next banner is they turn into Slaanesh.
Yep.
40 points. It's the beast banner. Increase the max charge range by 3 inches and applies a plus D3 modifier to the result. So they
have really like this. Centaur with Swift Stride.
Yeah. Duh.
So they get to go their movement, I think, 8. Plus, you know, the higher of 2d6 plus another d6 plus another d3.
Yeah, and their max charge range is plus 6 inches.
Yeah.
That's dumb. I don't like it. No, sir.
Yeah. They can go real far. They're real fast, boys.
All right, talk to me about the poop banner.
Oh, the poop banner, the soiled tapestry, is only 15 points. They gain hatred. All enemies. However, all enemy models hate the unit carrying this banner. Love it. Dope. Perfect. No notes.
No notes.
This is so Beastman. We don't care that you hate us. I hate you more. I'm just going to charge you and get the attacks first anyway, and you won't have a fighting rank to hate me. Get wrecked.
I hate this game.
It's so good. I love it. I love that there's a drawback. Like 15 points to give the unit hatred all enemies
would be
busted. That you hate me too? Okay, whatever. My beastmen are there to die. Who cares?
It's dope as hell and funny.
So good.
Oh my gosh. So we've got some enchanted items now. We've got a Horn of the Great Hunt. So we have 35 points. Once per turn after rolling to determine if a unit with the ambush or special rule that is currently held in reserve as reinforcements arrived, and if the bearer of the Horn of the Great Hunt is on the battlefield and not fleeing, you can apply a +1 or a -1 modifier to the result. This is cool. This is really great. Almost needed.
You can actually build an ambush list with Beastmen now, because if you take a Beast Lord as the general, you can re-roll.
After,
you have to make a leadership test, but you can re-roll the ambush and then also get +1 to it.
A Beast Lord, you said?
Yeah, so now you're re-rolling a 3+, essentially.
Interesting.
You may they have the Brayhorn
each unit of ambushers. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, shoot. Yeah, that sounds incredible.
Right, so now we actually have a re-rollable 3+. If you've got a few units in ambush, you're going to get most of them on the table turn 2.
Yeah, for sure.
It's great. The ambush might actually do something, especially when now, okay, your shooting is halved.
But it's only once. It's once per turn. So it's not every single ambush roll you do.
Good catch.
Yep. If one unit.
So you do it on the most important one.
Correct. It's a re-rollable 3+ on the most important one and then re-rollable for the rest of them. 4+, right? So that's not bad. 35 points, I think that's worth it.
Yeah. No, I like that one a lot.
What else you got?
The Scourge of the Burdened. So that you can make use of your old Kazrak, the One-Eye models, with his whip called Scourge. 25 points. The wielder of the Scourge of the Burdened can cast the Call of the Wild spell from the lore of Primal Magic as a bound spell of power level 2. Let's just get more movement.
Yeah. All right,
in our already fast army. Dope.
Yeah. Severely dope.
I talked myself into liking that spell earlier. I like this item a lot more now.
Yeah, that's fair.
Power level 2, what's the casting on that? An 8? So you only need to roll a 6? That's not bad. That's
no
more better than 50% than chance.
Yeah. So do you have any, what is it, drilled? You have any units that can take drilled?
Not really. That's not really a Beastman thing. That takes like training and practice. Why would we do that?
Practice sounds dumb.
I don't know. If anybody had drilled, it would probably be War Best of Gore, and they do not. They can get Stubborn or Veteran.
Huh. Yeah, it doesn't look like anybody's got drilled. Because I was saying, like, drilled with extra movement be that's super nice. Dope, right?
Yeah, I really wish Centigore had drilled, but...
Well, they're drunk. Yeah, right. They can't be drilled.
No. They're too drunk for that.
Drunken.
They're too drunk and also dumb.
Cacophonous.
There you go.
You think I should know this. I'm a freaking Slaanesh player.
Right.
15 points. Whilst their unit is within 18 inches of the bearer of the Cacophonous Dirge. What?
I love this one so much.
Enemy music.
Specifically for you. Enemy musicians cannot use their Onwards to Victory, Steadying Rhythm, or Quick Time rules. Within 18 inches, you just don't have musicians.
Brooks, did you write this book?
He loves this item so
did
much.
Did you write this damn book? Brooks got on a call with GW. He was like, listen, I need one thing from you.
Since it makes musicians even more useless.
It's
only 15 points. You could throw it on a unit champion. It's so good.
This has been the worst night of my life. I don't feel good. You're bullying me with this dumb book.
I didn't write it. But yeah, I mean, you could throw it on a, you know, your Best of Gore champion can take 25 points. Your Centigore, even Gore Herd can take, Truehorn can take 25
can points. Centigores can take it.
I was just getting to Centigores. Can they? Yeah, Gorehoof can take 25 points. You can throw this on your Centigores with their super fast movement within 18 inches. No more musicians.
So dumb.
Oh, we tied? No, we didn't, because you don't have a musician anymore, but I do. Is it enemy musicians? Yes. It's even better. I would be okay if it affected every musician, but it's even better that it only affects enemies.
I have a vein popping out of my forehead. I just got off of a heart monitor. None of this is helping.
At least you're laughing, though.
It's really funny. That was the best blind react I think I've ever done.
I'm so glad you didn't read that one ahead of time. And then you were reading it, and I was like, oh, this is a musician one. He's going to love it.
So stupid.
It's so good.
The worst part about this is, like, this sucks for demons so bad.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, demons need help.
Okay, well.
The Renegade pack did help them a lot to make them playable, I think. But then we have three arcane items. We can skip over the Demon Heart. We've talked about that one a couple times with making your dispels better. But the Blood of the Shadow Gave, which is awesome, reference to Morgur, which I really hope we get him in a later like expansion book of some kind, because Morgur is probably my favorite.
Can you read that flavor text? Because it's dope.
Yeah, because Morgur's just so cool. It says, when shattered upon the ground, clay jars of Morgur's blood boil and spit, birthing mewling beastlings that consume raw magic from the very air before fading back into the cursed soil.
That's so dope.
It's a dispel scroll. 35 points, super common, single use. Instead of making a wizardly dispel, you can, you know, smash this bottle on the ground and have that weird stuff happen, and the enemy spell is automatically dispelled.
Man,
unless
I
it
just,
was a perfect invocation.
I just got this super dope scene that played out in my head where, like, enemy Empire wizard is, you know, chanting, you know, like Saruman sort of thing. And this beastman, like Bray Shaman, just pulls out this like clay jar and just shatters it on the ground, and all the magic just gets sucked into the friggin' blood and then seeps down on the ground.
The mewling beastlings just eat it, and then it's gone, and the wizard's like, what the hell, man?
He, like, topples over, essentially. Like, that, oh. That was
so
mad.
Good.
That was so
good.
Yeah. I gotta listen to the sword after this. Give me a minute.
So I love all the references to Morgur here. I was really hoping that we'd get him as one of the playable, one of the special characters in this book. But that's, like, Crawl Maw's thing, is that he knows... where every time Morgur is killed, he's like this pure manifestation of chaos that looks kind of like a beast man. And every time he's killed, he's immediately reborn into another beast man somewhere else in the world. And Crawl Maw, his thing is he knows where Morgur is, and he will go to him and, like, basically make sure he survives to, like, adulthood, which I don't think takes long at all for beastmen. So I could see down the line, if we get, like, source books, maybe we could get, like, a young Morgur if they, like, move the timeline up, which we're all assuming they're going to up to the Great War. And then, like, we could have Morgur back, and he's awesome. I'd love to get that model back on the table.
I looked on the Warhammer Wiki. This is so nerdy of me. I know Morgur from the Wood Elf name, Cyanothar.
Oh, yeah.
That's
they hate him so much.
Yeah.
He just corrupts things around him as he just walks around. He's just like a beacon of corruption.
Oh, yep. I definitely remember a lot of stories about this guy in the What Elf book.
And he's called the Shadow Gave, which is just a cool name.
Right? The Blood of the Shadow Gave. Anyways, we're skipping the Demon Heart because it's dope. The Gore Tooth. So essentially, the Demon Heart, you make a wizardly dispel, you count as being one level higher than who you're dispelling, which is incredibly hilarious.
For 30 points, fantastic.
Yeah, so if you ever take this, you actually need to model just a middle finger on your wizards. That's how they know that you're taking the Demon Heart. And enemy opponents will be like, oh, Demon Heart, got it. All right, cool. So Goretooth.
Nice Demon Heart model.
That's pretty good. Goretooth, 15 points. It's super common. In addition to Lords of Magic, hey, guess what? They know a Lord of Primal Magic as well.
Oh, yeah, this is that dumb spell, or that dumb item. 15 points.
And it should be 5.
It
should be 5 points.
It should just be built into the rules for primal magic that, you know, beastmen, shamans can use this lore, add it to their thing. You know, like, I don't understand why it costs points.
Yeah, the only thing that I could see it, the reason for doing that is you have to buy this book. So giving it, like, a cost. So it's not like, you know, pay to win sort of thing. But at the same time, just take whatever the hell that stupid spell is that I can't stand and be done with your life.
Oh, Vile Tide.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yeah. Let's just roll sixes about it.
Yeah. And then re-roll the ones that you didn't roll sixes on.
Well, Dan, I'm not going to lie to you. This was a terrible time.
I'm so glad I got to do this with Brooks and then with you as well, because he was kind of saying the same thing, like, well, I guess I'm a Beastmon player now.
No,
he's specifically a Minotaur player. He's going to build a Minotaur herd.
Oh my gosh, yes. This, like, it looks just like so much stupid fun. Stupid amounts of fun.
I was saying last week that I think this is the first book where both armies of infamy are absolutely viable.
Sure.
And the Minotaur one is a little lacking in special rules, and it's super limited, but, like, it's so cool to just have a bunch of cows out there.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure one of the armies at ACO was the Minotaur herd.
So good.
Yep. And it looks great. And that's my thing with Beastmen is they just... The Beastmen look so cool. They really do. That's why I went with them. Right? They're the embodiment of just, like, the awful thing of Warhammer Fantasy. Like, if you think humans and you're like, what's the opposite of humans? Like, oh, Beastmen. Yeah, for sure. 1,000%.
They're like humans, but cooler.
Right? Humans.
Because they're not humans.
Yeah. I mean, if you had the option between humans and not, like, just don't be a human. You know what I mean? You heard me.
Yeah, I did. I heard the words you said, but...
Yeah. I mean, you know?
So, yeah, I cannot wait to try out both of these armies of infamy. I can feel the Minotaur blood herd. It's a little limited, but, like, the Hearthstone's a core in that army, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I think I have to pad it a little bit with some Gores in the Shaggoth, but because I don't have a second Gorgon yet. Otherwise, I would have two Gorgons running around.
Shut up.
And they're special in that army, so I'm pretty sure I could fit three or four.
Yes, you can.
I could fit four at 2,000 points.
Why?
Poor Taylor. So
245 points.
But you can't ever have two steam tanks at 2,000. That's too powerful. Taylor's broken again.
I don't want to play this game anymore.
Just looks so dejected. Tell you what, the first time if you want, you could use the Beastmen whenever you feel like it.
No.
Okay, you can use the Minotaurs whenever you feel like it.
I don't negotiate with terrorists.
That was the perfect line.
Why don't you go play your Final Fantasy about it, Dan?
Okay.
Oh, man. You have a bunch of Empire, don't you?
You could do 2,000 points of Empire.
Can you? Oh, all right. We'll figure something out. I'm not scared.
A little bit.
Well, I definitely want to play this scenario for sure. That sounds super fun. So,
yes.
Just like
we got to do the... When they came out with that 3-scenario pack with the High Elves versus Warriors.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a Freydahl model, finally, so I need to get her painted up someday once... I think by the time Tim has the studio in his basement ready to do miniature stuff, I might finally have High Elves and Warriors ready enough, and we can finally play through that mini campaign.
Yeah, actually, a little bit of a spoiler, everybody. I was talking to Tim on the way back home from ACO, and we're super excited about plans with filming some stuff. So
yes,
yeah, it'd be super duper great. But anyways, until next time, ladies and gentlemen, professionalcasual.com, because I'm done with this conversation. We've
got all our socials. What do you mean?
We got all our socials over there. We've got podcasts, blogs, merch, all that sort of stuff. Dan actually did a blog on the Old World role-playing game. Is that right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I was going to mention that because we're talking about Old World Cubicle 7 as of today of recording time. And they have released the pre-orders for the Old World RPG. The player's guide, you can get the PDF for when you pre-order the book, or you can just buy the PDF. The GM's guide will be out sometime before the end of July.
Nice.
They're hoping mid-July, which I'm really excited for. So if you're interested in role-playing in the Old World, there is currently Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay 4th Edition. If you're looking for something a little less crunchy, because that game is crunchy as hell, Old World is great. I love the system for it. It's very much like Soulbound, which I know we usually don't mention AOS around here, but I think the Soulbound RPG is fantastic. I don't like using the word simple because I feel like that has negative connotations. I feel like both Old World and Soulbound are elegant systems.
Lighter.
Yeah.
Way lighter than WFRP.
Yes.
Right? WFRP is crunchy as all get out. So,
which normally I don't mind, but once in a while, I like to, you know, here and there, I like to play games that aren't so rule intensive.
Yeah, every now and then, I just want to humchuck some dice. That's why I play MCP. You know,
yeah.
But yeah,
that's an elegant system. To me,
for sure.
MCP is super streamlined, but it's not simple. It's elegant because there's a lot of depth to it.
One of the greatest ways that I usually explain to people who are interested is it's a very easy game to grasp the basics of. And then once you actually get into playing it, it's very minute.
Yes.
Right. So it's an interesting system. Anyways, Dan is also a professional GM, and you can play games with him on a website.
Startplaying.games. You can search for me there. As just Bad GM Dan.
Startplaying.games. I don't know if he has any games still available. Some a slot just opened up time of recording, right?
Yeah, for the Cult Arcane, if you want to play in a campaign that we're all wizards.
That's WFURP, isn't it?
Yeah, that's fourth edition. I'm currently writing a one-shot, something that people in the Discord wanted me to do, and I was like, guys, I'm never going to get around to doing this, so now I'm doing it, of course. I'm going to write a one-shot where the party plays as dwarves that are going to be like an infiltration team to seek out and kill a gargantuan squig in Carrick Eight Peaks, so the army can like get past this blockade that it's made. It's got like a choke point. It's taken over.
Define one shot.
Like 4 hours ish.
All right, I'm in.
Troll like Slayer. An actual one shot. Like you should be able to do it in one session is the idea.
Sweet, I'm a Troll Slayer.
Right. So Danny actually gave me the idea to like make pre-gens for people, especially because I'm going to do it with the Old World RPG. Especially because it's so new, that way everybody just, you have your character. So I'm going to make make six pre-gens. Three of them will be slayers.
Yeah.
And then there's a dwarf brew guard is a new career dope, for Old World.
So dope.
A brew guard and another dwarf. And then one of them's a human that's like a dwarf friend.
A feeling.
My working title for it is Dwarven Expedition 60, which if people know Expedition 33, get that reference. They were the expedition. Dope. I don't want to give it away because if you play Expedition 33, something you find near the end, it's a great bit of lore. So it's the Dwarven Expedition 60. what was the other one? This is driving me nuts. Oh, it was a miner.
Oh, cool. Yep.
A dwarf miner. They have to use the laborer career. Miner is not its own thing yet, but yeah, I'm super pumped for that. So that'll be a one shot. I'll probably run a bunch of times.
Hell yeah. But yeah, check that out. It's startplaying.games and you're going to look for Bad GM Dan.
Yeah. I'll, give Taylor the link we could potentially put in the show notes as well.
Yes, please do. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Dan is my GM page. Real great GM. So I've been playing games with him for way too long and I never want to stop. Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Twitch.tv/professional casual network where we stream all sorts of stuff. Dr. D is streaming right now. Again, I don't know how he does it every time we record. It's insane.
Right.
The paraphrase on Tuesdays. Usually we are in the middle of moving studios and moving houses. So we might have to take a little bit of a break on some things.
It's like perfect storm of all that stuff. With me moving and the studio moving and...
You're both doing it July 1st, aren't you?
I don't know when I'm moving, man.
You know what I mean? Like, it's absolutely insane. And then Ben's on there every now and then. It's an absolutely fantastic time. Hey, folks, if you have extra monies and you want to donate to a great cause it's a Friends of Recovery dedicated to others.
Hey.
I wrote it down in the notes. what I didn't write down though is where it is. I think it's Otsego, Delaware, and Shenango counties in New York. Helps folks, with their recovery from addiction and all that sort of stuff. It's an absolutely fantastic place to help out. And then we have the PO Box G, West Oneonta, New York 13861. Also wrote that down in the notes. I did not remember that. If you want to send us stuff as well as things,
how are you?
I'm so good at this game. And hey, as always, leave us reviews. Either Apple Podcast or Audible would be great. Anywhere is really fine, but Apple Podcast and Audible is where a lot of places get their feeds from. So a 5-star review would be fantastic. And hey, we'll read it off here live-ish, live while we record it in this show. Yes. So that'd be super duper swelly McGellies. And Dan, you got anything you want to say to the peoples?
Yeah, please don't ever say swelly McGellies again.
That's totally fair.
feed your local Beastman player. Mary nope. Dice to lose, roll sixes, unless it's a leadership test. Unless you're playing against Beastman, then roll sixes there, too.
Hate this game. I love you all. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network. Like what, Danny?
I'll tell you. On Mondays, we've got the Lost Omens podcast, our Pathfinder 2e actual play, hosted by me, playing through the Extinction Curse AP. Also, streaming on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you can check out, oh yeah, The Power Phase, our Marvel Crisis Protocol live battle report show. On Tuesdays, the podcast version of Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog is available. On Wednesdays, alternating releases on the Patreon, we have Settling the Southlands, our homebrew Wolfthorpe actual play, and The Slithering, a Pathfinder 2nd edition actual play. And on Thursdays, live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, we've got Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog.
You can also check out back episodes of Elite Eight Showdown and the first 39 episodes of the Lost Omens podcast, the first 24 episodes of Settling the Southlands, and the first handful of episodes of The Slithering on the YouTube at youtube.com/theprofessionalcasual.